Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Even though the life of Christ that is recorded for us is relatively limited, there are many significant events recorded, and some of the statements surrounding these events escape our attention if we're not careful. But from them we can extract many helpful lessons for our present and eternal benefit. And such is the phrase, because there was no room for them in the inn. The event, of course, was the birth of Jesus the Christ. It was the highest kind of world-shaking event, even though the world knew it not at the time. And the circumstances surrounding his birth were very humble indeed. Yet the effect of it remains and ever shall remain. Now, during what is called by many as the Christmas season, people sometimes celebrate the birth of Christ. Of course, those who are guided by the authority of God do not celebrate such a day as the birth of Christ because there's no authority to do so. We cannot just act without due regard for the teaching that what we do by His authority, Colossians 3 and verse 17. And as historians and astronomers have determined, about the only thing that we can be certain as to the time of year of His birth is that December 25th was not it. So we do not wish to attach religious significance to what can otherwise be a joyful and social and family custom and occasion. But we also need to remove the accumulated fiction from around the birth of Christ. Many fanciful stories have been told connected with it that simply have no basis whatever in Scripture. The time of enrollment was a time of taxation. Every man was to go to the home of his ancestry to be taxed. Joseph, being of the house of David, went to Bethlehem, the city of David, taking Mary, his wife, with him. Mary was soon to give birth to the child that had been conceived in her by the miraculous power of God, she being a virgin, and remaining a virgin until after his birth. Accommodations, obviously, were hard to come by. In fact, there were none available for Joseph and Mary when they arrived. And so they took shelter in a barn or a stable. And in this environment, the child Jesus was born, was laid in a manger, the feeding trough of animals. We cannot help but wonder if the innkeeper had only known that Mary carried within her the long-looked-for Messiah, that he might have provided better facilities. But there simply was not any room anywhere for Jesus. And friend, the sad truth of the matter is, there was not only no room for him at his birth, but with so many times, men have no room for him in their lives even yet. The world really did not want Jesus, even though the world needed Jesus. Look at the conduct of Herod, the king of Judea, who sought the life of the child once he learned of him. The way this special family escaped from his wickedness was through the warning of the wise men who had inquired of him to return home another way. And Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they fled into Egypt. And after Jesus began his personal ministry, his own people had no room for him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, John 1:11. He grew up in Nazareth, and was not even received by the Nazarenes. When he came there to read the Scriptures and to teach, the teaching was so displeasing to them that their reaction was actually violent. Scripture says, "And they all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." Luke 4:28-30. It's true, they had no room for him. certainly the ruler of the Jews had no room for Christ, even though they were religious leaders who should have understood the prophets concerning him. They rejected him. And even though they taught that a Messiah was to come, they entertained preconceived notions regarding the Messiah, and when he did come, they didn't recognize him. They fought against him with all their power and all of their influence. Luke 19 says, "But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him." Most of the Samaritans had no room for him either. When he came into their borders, going from Galilee to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Tabernacles, he passed through their villages, and they even refused him permission to stay overnight. Now the hatred of the Jews and the Samaritans that they had for each other extended with emphasis even against Christ. Luke 9 tells us it came to pass, when the time was come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now from these and similar records, we see that Jesus was not wanted by the people of his time. There was no room for him. From birth until his death, he was constantly being rejected by most people. The world even treated Jesus worse than they usually treat men that they did not like and did not know. The world sometimes takes compassion on a refugee or a wanderer, or a man who's down on his luck, as we speak of it. People offer a helping hand, offer to assist those upon whom misfortune falls. But that was not the case with Christ. Although he was a wanderer and without a home, he had no possessions. The scripture says, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head," Luke 9 and verse 58. Even though he was hated and despised and tortured and persecuted unjustly, the scripture says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. Men did not have any compassion on him. They had no pity toward him. They had no room for him. And finally, the world felt it had ridded itself of him when he was killed on the cross of Calvary. But the story of Jesus does not end with his death, nor did man's rejection of him dispose of him. But does the world even today have room for him? We speak not of his person in the flesh, of course, but for his gospel message of salvation, the blessings of God that are provided only through Jesus Christ. Does the world really care for him in life, in word, in deed, in attitude? Is there any room for Christ in the business world? Do those who operate the shops and the stores and the offices and the markets, do they ever consider him? How can they, while shortchanging others, taking advantage of others, even stealing from others, being dishonest, gaining unfair gain, cheating on the job? Someone has said that business is business and religion is something else. Well, that's partly true, but not altogether. Christ and his ways belong in your manner of earning a living and conducting your business affairs, friend. If that's not the case with you, then you're not faithful to Christ. Business and religion do mix and must mix as far as business activities being governed by the principles of truth and honesty and your concern and consideration of other people. Is there any room for Christ in the educational institutions of our country? More and more the public educational systems of America have seen Christ and his word driven out by the increased influence of those who hate God. Even the moral and ethical truths have been taken away. The schools are more and more becoming the breeding ground for humanism and every vile and evil practice. Teachers, textbooks, even the curricula, they're designed to deny the teaching of Christ, ridiculing it, filling the minds of youth with satanic influences of atheism and immorality, violence and sin. And whether by design or through negligence, the American public school system has become one of the worst enemies of New Testament Christianity that exists in our entire nation. It's undoing the very things that God wants done. Is there any room for Christ in society generally? When you consider the gross immorality, the drunkenness, the lasciviousness, the reveling, the cursing, the pride, the envy, the hate, the murder, the perversion of sex, ever on the increase year after year. Friend, that's contrary to the will of the Lord. He could not feel at home in the midst of such depravity. Society thinks so little of the Lord, and many who think of Him at all either hate Him or they totally ignore Him. And is there any room for Christ in the governing of this world among nations? Would there be war and hatred and greed and scandal and dishonesty and lying and theft and on, if Christ had a place in the hearts of the rulers of the world? Let some man have an attitude of respect for God, and let him assume a place of power, and he is soon either corrupted or he's banished from power. Political leaders seldom refer to the God of heaven and call upon Him for guidance, and we're so thankful when there be those who sincerely do so. So many ignore the principles of His Word. They themselves are participants in every vile and worldly activity, determined to satisfy their own greed, their own passions, regardless of the welfare of themselves or the nations. The depth of political decay, regardless of how long and blighted history it can be traced, it's a cancer on the scene of the world. Integrity in government is so seldom found that most do not even expect it anymore. There's no room for the Lord in international organizations because so many worship false gods, and they don't care for the true and living God. But we must ask, does Jesus have any room in our homes? What of that home where worship never occurs, where prayers are never heard, where Scripture is disrespected rather than taught? Is Christ in homes where there's a lack of love and kindness and consideration for one another? Is Christ in homes wrecked by divorce and unfaithfulness to duty and to each other? Is He included in the family finances and the time and the activities of the family? If someone came to your door and asked, "Does Christ live here?" how would you answer? Christ ought to be the supreme ruler of your home. And as fantastic as it may sound at first, Christ doesn't even find room in many churches. He has to take a back seat. And His will is set aside in favor of what the church members or its clergy or its governing board or its creed book determines ought to be. When the truth of Christ is not respected and His authority is not supreme in a religious group, there's no way to conclude that Christ has room in that church. It is certainly not the church of Christ. And it may even have the sign out front, Church of Christ, but unless His will prevails, it's misnamed. Many are following what their disciplines teach and their catechisms and manuals and prayer books and clergymen and moneyed members might declare, but that's not the will of Christ. But while it is evident that Christ has no room in so many places today, my dear listening friend, does Christ have room in your heart and your life? Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Those who have never become Christians have not made room for Him as yet. Those who walk unfaithfully, you have no room for Christ. So we plead to you in the words of the hymn, have you any room for Jesus? Knocking at your heart is He. Hear Him. Open. Open. Bid Him enter. He has much in store for thee. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.